I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The Vancouver International Writers Festival celebrates its 25th anniversary this year, beginning Tuesday the 16th of October through to Sunday the 21st of October 2012. There'll be a lot of events featuring some very fine writers from this country and beyond. It's a community experience and an internationally recognized event because of the impressive number of acclaimed and accomplished writers that converge on Granville Island each year. Hal Wake has been its artistic director for a number of years now, since succeeding Elma Lee, who founded the festival. He's been on annually, and I'm delighted to have him back on now to preview some of the events and perhaps look back at the last 25 years. Among those writers appearing this year include Alistair MacLeod, David Suzuki, Margaret Atwood, Jane Urquhart, Louise Penny, Tim Flannery, Cory Doctorow, Lyndon McIntyre, Gordon Pinsett, and many others. There's something for everyone. Visit writersfest.bc.ca for the lineups and ticket information. I've been supporting the organization for a number of years now. They do great work. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program, Hal Wake. Mr. Wake, good morning.
It's a great pleasure to be here.
Thanks for joining us. So just a couple of things before we get to this year's festival. There was the Michael Chabon event last week. And unfortunately, it fell on Yom Kippur, which I guess some fans of Chabon would have missed the event because of that. There was something in one of the newsletters suggesting that there would be streaming available of the event. Is that happening?
We will be posting it, I think, the audio next week on our website. We have an audio archive. If you go to the menu bar across the top and go over to multimedia, that's how you get into the audio archive. And that conversation, as well as one with Richard Ford and Alice Munro and many other events from the festival, are there.
Yeah. The event, though, was it well attended last Wednesday?
Well, it would have been a little better attended if it hadn't been on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
But, you know, we actually alerted the publisher when they first approached us and said, you know, do you want to talk to Michael Chabon? And, I've been trying to do this for 6 or 7 years, and we said, well, the date is a problem. But it was the only opportunity, the only chance. It was that or not talk to him at all. So that was really, you know, we didn't have much choice.
Yeah. I had him on last week when he was in town, and I've had him on before. He's just a great interview. He makes the interviewer look good, I guess.
Well, you know, I've been struck, particularly, I think, in the last few years with the writers that I've had the opportunity to talk to, Howard Jacobson, Peter Carey, you know, a number of writers, how generous they are, mm-hmm. how willing they are to take us into their creative process and talk about, I mean, really, they're creating worlds, aren't they? They're manufacturing a whole rich, detailed world, and to have the best tell you how they do it is it's quite exciting.
And isn't that the case in your experience, that the bigger they are, the easier they are to get along with?
Yeah, quite often.
Yeah.
They're also the ones who've had the most experience. The truth, too, and I'm sure you would have found this in your own experience, it depends to some extent on the questions you ask. You've got to have read the work, and you've got to have wrestled with it a little bit and ask questions that take them into some of the ideas that are in the book. But if you do that, they're there to play.
Are there stories from these past 25 years that you can share with us of say, disasters with guests that have appeared at the festival? Disasters, maybe, that happened in the run-up to the event, say?
Here I am, trying to encourage people to come down in a couple of weeks, and what you want to talk about are disasters. I remember the headline in the Vancouver Sun article after one of our festivals where a writer slipped and broke his wrist, and the headline was something like, writer injured at writer's festival. Well, there are any... you can't bring 100 people from all over the place and not have mishaps and, personality clashes from time to time. One of our favorite stories is about a series of years with events in a theater that's upstairs from our office. It used to be called the Playwrights Theater Center, PTC. It's a very small, intimate venue. And I think it was three successive years. The first two, each of the events, a patron fainted, collapsed. In one case, Michael Crummy was reading from Galore, and it was a scene involving some dismemberment of a whale.
Yeah.
And a guy in the front row just kind of pitched over and, you know, had to be helped out. And Michael said something like he was going to hire himself out in case to bars that needed occasionally to clear the bar. He would just read, and that would get rid of everybody.
Yeah.
And then the next year, somebody else had a medical emergency, and an ambulance came. And then the third year, we thought we were sort of lucky because it was actually somebody outside of the venue, just in the street down below, who unfortunately tripped over a parking barrier and injured her leg. So we thought there might have been a curse going on up there, but nothing happened last year, so I'm knocking on wood that it'll be fine.
And in terms of bringing this disparate array of authors over the years, have there been instances of, say, bad behavior or egos, you know, that have been, say, difficult to manage?
I would not pretend otherwise, but I'll tell you that probably out of the 100 or so writers who come every year, there may be one or two who present certain challenges. And I think that as a percentage, that's probably way better than if you chose 100 people randomly and tried, you know, to see how many were could be a problem. So, I think that you have to remember that these folks are out on the road to promote their books, and so they want to do a good job of that. They want people to appreciate who they are and what they do. So the vast majority come prepared to cooperate and really do anything that that you ask of them.
I noticed that this year the reader's part was dropped from the title. I used to find it cumbersome to have to read that every year when you'd come on. Whose decision was that?
Well, also the international was dropped. We engaged in a rebranding exercise, and I'm sorry if that sounds like jargon, about a year ago, and I frankly was dubious that we could actually remake the look of the organization and then extend that to all of our print materials and the website and everything in the time that we had, because there were some tough questions that we had to tackle, not the least of which was approving a new logo and design element. But, you talk about the 25th anniversary. I don't think that the visual look of the festival had changed in a long, long time. And the reason that the readers was inserted, it wasn't there at the beginning, I think it was inserted in about the third year, was because some people thought it was a writer's conference and they thought it was just for writers. So Alma put that in so that people would understand that what we do is create a place where readers can come and listen to and ultimately talk to writers who've inspired them, who've engaged them, who've entertained them over the years. We didn't feel that we have to sell that anymore. I think there are always people who may not be familiar with this, but by and large, the Vancouver Writers' Fest pretty much tells you the core of who we are and what we do. And then you don't have to go very much farther to find out the depth and breadth of the organization.
And each year, the number of, visitors that come to these events, that's been going up, has it?
It did until last year. We had because half of our events are for school groups, uh-huh. and from kindergarten to grade 12, and the dispute between school board, the Ministry of Education, and teachers affected our attendance for sure last year, and there was a strike a couple of years ago, and that presented challenges. But right now, as we speak, ticket sales are going gangbusters, really. I'm quite excited about the events that are selling out or filling up, and there seems to be a lot of buzz.
Yeah, I was talking to M.G. Vasanji earlier. He's in town now, but he'll be back in a couple weeks for two events. I believe the Double Day event, that's sold out already?
Yes, that one has.
Yeah.
But the event that he's in with
Lawrence
Nuruddin Farah and Zakes Emda from South Africa, Lawrence Hill is going to moderate that discussion.
Yeah.
But it's called Uprooted. And it's going to be a fascinating conversation. Although M.G. Vasanji has never been exiled from anywhere, his family roots take him back to Africa and the Indian diaspora, the Indian population who had been kind of evicted from various African countries. Zakes Emda fled South Africa when he was 16 years old. Because of the political situation. And Nuruddin Farah, who's often mentioned as a potential Nobel laureate, by the way, very, very highly regarded international writer from Somalia, he's never been able to go back to Somalia. So the whole notion of being forced out of your homeland and how that informs your writing, and how you write about a place that you're not able to physically go back to. Those kinds of issues and questions will be part of that discussion, and there are tickets available for that.
There's a tribute to Patrick Lane that's Saturday the 20th. There are tickets for that one still, is that correct?
Yeah. I don't think there will be by the time the event rolls around. But there are, and Patrick, we've tried to do this periodically. We've done celebrations of Alice Munro, P.K. Page, Jane Rule, Mavis Gallant, and we try to do it when the writer can be there to enjoy it and, you know, and be feted. So Patrick, of course, will be there, and Margaret Atwood and Jane Urquhart and Gillian Jerome and Stephen Price, a whole bunch of writers, fellow poets, will toast one of BC's, one of Canada's finest poets of his generation.
Indeed, yeah. There's this book by Alistair MacLeod. I guess it's just a short story? Or?
Well, this is very dear to my heart. I'm very fond of Alistair as a writer,
yeah.
and as a person, and I wanted him at the festival, but we've talked to him about everything he's ever written, and I just thought, well, the only way I can see to get him back would be to ask him if he would write a short story especially for us and for this festival. And I tell you, my heart was in my mouth when I phoned him, because he's very kind to me, but I thought, you know, this is a crazy notion. And he just said, you know, how long do I have to write it? And I said, well, festival's not for another year. And he said, oh, I think I could write a short story in a year. And he did in less than a year. We've printed it in a limited edition chapbook. It will be available at the festival. Alistair is going to sign every single copy. We're only printing 600, and it's a short story that has never been seen anywhere. Won't be until the festival.
And then people, even if they don't go to the festival, they can they order that off the website?
Not yet. We really want it to be a kind of a souvenir for people who help us celebrate our 25th, the audience, and so on. It, but I, if there are copies left after, we will certainly make it available.
Yeah. Are there events that that you're looking forward to this year that, that say that there are tickets still left for?
There are lots of events. I worked very hard to get a writer from Beijing named Chen Kunchang to the festival. He's written a novel.
It's a satire, isn't it?
Yes, it's a political satire that's banned in China, but it was distributed online and passed around that way so that millions of Chinese citizens have read it. And so far the government has not taken any kind of action because he said it slightly in the future. So, you know, it's not as though he's criticizing the current regime or anything that, that that's happened directly. It's a fascinating story. His story is compelling. He spent a lot of time in Canada as a young man, so his English is perfect, and he's very thoughtful about revisionism and political control of ideas. So I just... And Charlie Foran is going to interview him, and Charlie is steeped in Chinese affairs, so that should be a quite a, an exciting one. And I'm going to have a conversation with Tess Gallagher, who is the widow of Raymond Carver, and there was a series in The New Yorker a few years ago about Raymond Carver's relationship with his editor, Gordon Lish. They had letters in there between the two, and Carver was pleading for Lish not to take a hatchet to his story. Some of Carver's stories were cut in half by Lish's editing. So Tess is going to come, and we'll talk about that very interesting relationship fraught with so much angst at times, and also Tess's own relationship with Carver. So anybody who has read Raymond Carver or cares about his work would be interested in that event, I think.
That's Saturday the 20th at 2 p.m. at the Waterfront Theater. I know that you have a lot of books in your office because of your job. I'm curious, how many books do you own, say, at home?
Yeah, I don't know how to answer this without sounding... I actually paid a young friend of mine, I think she might have been 12 at the time, to count them when I finally hauled them all together in one room. So... And I, it was around 2,000 then, and so it's probably considerably more now. I find it very hard to get rid of books.
Yeah, I'm the same.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You remember, you may have heard of Alberto Mangel, whose books about writing and reading and libraries, he wrote a book called The Library at Night, which is a fabulous book. He lived in Canada for many, many years, originally from Brazil, I think, and or Argentina, sorry, Argentina. And Alberto eventually moved to France so that he could buy an old monastery outbuilding or something and put his library in there. And he had, I guess, more than 20,000 books. So he left the country in order to facilitate housing his books. And I remember talking to him once, and I said, you can't possibly have read all those books or ever read them. And he said, I know, and I don't care. There are books, he said, that I look up and I know I'm never going to read, but I just get some comfort out of the fact that they're there and I'm in their presence. It's mystical, but
I mean, people listening to this might think that we're crazy.
Yes,
but I mean,
right.
But it makes perfect sense to me. I just came back from Portland, where I had a whole suitcase full of books from Powell's, and I know friends of mine are thinking that I'm a lunatic, but screw them, you know.
Yeah, no, you probably have some signed copies too, and for me, those signed copies are a kind of a touchstone for an experience with the book and with the writer and a relationship, and they're treasures for me. You know, they just represent a good part of my working life.
Hal, it's been great talking again. Thanks for this, and all good wishes to you and your team for another great festival and year round too.
You're very kind, and please come over and say hello if you're down on Granville Island.
Will do. The website for more, writersfest.bc.ca. Hal Wake is the artistic director of the Vancouver Writers Festival. He joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.